Drew.
All right. You ready for a title, Andrew?
Yes, sir.
This one is called What About You? What About You? And I would like you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 20. Verse 7 of Psalm 20 says, some trust in chariots, and some trust or boast in horses, but we will remember the name of our God. What about you? Where is your trust? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray as we turn to your word this evening and we look at some common things that many people put their faith and trust in, I pray that you might speak to our hearts. We're few in number, but Lord, we have the assurance that where even two or three are gathered together in your name, you are in the midst. And so we are meeting in your presence, and we want to respect you, we want to honor you, we want to glorify you. Speak to our hearts, we pray in your name. Amen. Well, as we think of this seventh verse, it's a rather simple verse, kind of a two-parter, as we think about the things that it speaks of. It says some trust in certain things, and the second part, but we will. And so I trust that we can learn some things as we look at this evening. Before we do, though, I want to just call your attention to something that maybe you are aware of it, maybe you're not aware of it. Jerry ties into all kinds of websites, news sources, not the media. We can't really trust the media. We have discovered that, haven't we, long ago. And one day this week, I came home for lunch, and here she had her computer and a little speaker sitting there, and she said, I want you to listen to something. This woman's name is Jan Markell. Have any of you ever heard of this woman? And she is with Olive Tree Ministries, I think. And she had two pastors on her broadcast that particular day. And she deals in topics concerning the future. And this particular topic that this broadcast was about was the coming of the what's the title for it?
Digital
currency. How many of you have heard about the coming of the digital currency? How soon? Is it going to be a reality? Is it one of those things that's just somebody blowing air? Or is there really something to the coming of digital currency?
It's coming.
It is coming. And the thing that really perks our attention is that in the book of Revelation, we know that it speaks about in the days of the Antichrist, there will be a one world government. There will be a one world religion, and there will be a one world economy. And we have been hearing talks about the New World Order. We have been hearing talks in the last couple of years, especially since COVID, about the Great Reset, that world powers are moving toward. Individuals like Mr. Bill Gates, who controls how much of the wealth of the world. In this broadcast that we listened to, the speakers brought out the fact that our president, Joe Biden, not too long ago issued an executive order instructing his Federal Reserve. He gave them 270 days to work out the details and the things concerned with digital currency. The thing about digital currency is when that goes into effect, our currency most likely won't be worth anything anymore. Digital currency is programmable. We heard that on this broadcast, which means the authorities determine what this currency is worth and how long it is good for. What does that have to do with us? What is going to happen to us if and when? And one of the pastors that was being interviewed says he knows it's coming soon, but the speed at which this is moving, he said he wouldn't be surprised if it was in place by Christmas of this year. When that happens, what about our IRAs? What about our retirement plans? When currency has been replaced by digital currency, and they determine what you have and how much you can have. They say that could never be. Yeah, it can. It's happened in other countries before, where the government determines what you have and what you don't have. As we listened, it was very interesting that there is certain criteria that is going to play into this. You know, couple of things they talked about. For instance, what is your position on the LGBTDEFG, whatever they all are? What's your stand on those issues? They're going to make note of that. Depending upon how you are politically correct with certain things that they are stressing and pushing, it will determine how much digital currency you will be able to navigate with. You say, "Well, that sounds if that's going to happen here,
What are we going to do as Christians? What are we going to do? One of the speakers that they sourced was talking about the fact that we as believers are going to have to determine what is our stand going to be concerning this. Are we going to go along with it? Accept the digital currency? Or are we not? And you say, you ask yourself, well, if we don't, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Jerry and I were talking, even as we drove around the lake to come to church this evening. We gave up gardening a good number of years ago because of aches and pains and everything else along the way. But she said, you know, listening to this, it kind of makes you wonder if we may have to resort, we may have to go back to raising and growing a lot of our own food, a lot of our own supplies. She said, Kim was telling me, Mom, don't be so quick to get rid of all of your canning stuff. Who knows? You say, Pastor, you're scaring the daylights out of us. I thought it was very interesting that I just heard that article that Jerry was talking about, and they were not saying for certain by Christmas, but they were saying it is coming. It is coming. Digital currency. And when it's in place, everything is going to be different in our world around us. And what are we going to do? One individual was saying, I want you to understand, this is not the mark of the beast, but it is an indication that the technology will be in place for the mark of the beast. I've known for a year already that our world has been geared up for the coming of the mark of the beast, where you don't buy, sell, or trade without 666. You say, what are you referring to a year ago? Remember, it was about a year ago, all the buzz about the COVID passports. You couldn't get in, you couldn't go anywhere, you couldn't interact with people if you didn't have that COVID passport. Same kind of a mentality. Our people are already getting used to that mentality. You got to have whatever is required if you're going to be able to buy, sell, or trade, and so on. So what's that have to do with us tonight? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Let's look first of all at some of the things that people trust in. Chariots and horses, these are objects of might and power. Objects of might and power. Horses are no big deal to us, are they? But there was a day, wasn't there, when horses and chariots, that was the world. That was how you got around. That's how armies conquered. That's how they overtook other people and countries. In Isaiah 31, verses 1 and 3, it says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on or depend pin, that's what stay on means. Woe to those who go down to Egypt and depend on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Look at verse 3. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helped shall fall down, and they shall all fail together. Why? Because their trust has not been in the Lord. As we think about what's happening in our world and we see what's going on, if our world all of a sudden things change like some are predicting that it's going to, is that going to be the end of us? Does that mean that God's own people are not going to have anywhere to turn? No. We have God. How's God going to take care of us if we go to this digital currency society? I don't know. But I know He's going to take care of us. He's going to show us how He is going to provide for us and what we can do. One thing we do know, that when the world falls around us, our Heavenly Father is not going to fail us. Deuteronomy 17, 16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. What this is, these are some instructions that God gave through Moses. When you get in the land and you get a king, you're going to want a king, I know that. The king is not to multiply horses to himself and go back to Egypt, that he should multiply horses. Did Israel's kings abide by that? No. No, they didn't. David multiplied horses. Solomon multiplied horses. And they put much dependence upon the number of their horses, sadly against what God had instructed them. For you see, in with regard to Solomon, 1 Kings 10 verses 26 to 29 tells us this. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots. 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn, and the king's merchants received linen yarn at a price. And in chapter 11, we're not going to look at it, but verses 1 through 10, you can just jot down, and you see Solomon's departure. When he started putting his trust in the very things that God had told him you shouldn't be trusting in, it was a natural thing for him in chapter 11. In chapter 11, you see his departure from his faithfulness to the Lord. Notice in verse 11, it begins with that very telltale word, but Solomon loved many strange women. And we find of the nations, verse 2, which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you'll not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave or cherished unto these in love. Solomon turned his heart from his complete trust in the Lord. Well, some trust in A, the chariots and horses, but B, there are other things that people trust in. For instance, self. Know anybody that trusts in themselves? Sadly, a lot of people do, don't they? In Proverbs 28, verse 26, it says this, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Sadly, multiple numbers of people trust in themselves. They're quick to say, I don't trust in anyone but myself. I'll take care of myself. I can figure this out. I don't need anyone. And Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived that didn't follow the Lord like he should have, said, someone that trusts in his own heart is a fool. I wonder if those were words Solomon spoke out of personal discovery. Perhaps he is reflecting on his own foolishness as he had trusted in himself rather than the Lord. Isaiah 47, verses 8 through 11, tells us this. Therefore, hear now, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. God was speaking here to the country of Babylon, and how that Babylon, wasn't that a world power? Yeah. This was the world power that they had come in and they had carried off the children of Israel, made captives of them, Daniel and his three friends. That was in Babylonia. And, you know, when you're a world power, you don't have to worry about anything, right? But we looked at verses 8 through 11 here, and Isaiah the prophet, through the word of the Lord, was saying, you're doomed. You're trusting in your greatness. You're trusting in all that you have. But guess what? You're gonna go down. As I think about our own nation, I grew up hearing about how that the United States is meant as the greatest nation in the world. You ever hear something like that? We thought it, we believed it. But we are witnessing the decline of our nation. We are witnessing the destruction of our nation. We are witnessing the downfall of our nation. And one wonders just how much longer is the United States of America even going to be looked to as a great nation and a superpower. One of the things I think that has caused us to go down is the fact that over the years our nation has been known really for its open-handedness. You need something, just come to us and we will give you, we will send you, whether it's money, whether it's military arms, what it is. And we began to be so proud, thinking that nothing can destroy us. And yet we see now our nation is not respected in the eyes of the world like it once was, is it? Nope. And it's going to get worse. I don't see things getting any better for our nation. We trusted in the wrong source. You see, as a nation, we told God, oh, 50, 60 years ago, we don't want you in our nation anymore. Let's take away the listing of the Ten Commandments from public buildings. Let's take away the listing of the Ten Commandments in public schools. Let's remove prayer, Bible reading. Let's make it against the law to open meetings with prayer. We can't mention the name of God anymore. There was, you know, it's still on our money, and I don't know why it is. In God we trust. That's a lie. Our nation does not trust in God anymore. We trust in ourselves. But not only do people trust in self, many times we trust in others. In Psalm 146, verse 3, it tells us this: put not your trust in princes or in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Psalm 118, verse 9, tells us this: it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. In Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6, the prophet said this, Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. He said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. He shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Yeah, some trust in chariots and horses. Some trust in self. Some trust in others. Multitudes of people trust in their wealth, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to begin with this conversation about this digital currency, which we are told is coming, and we can't stop it. This is what the government is working toward. Because another thing that a lot of people trust in is their wealth. The money that they have set aside, looking forward to their retirement, living off of this, living off of that. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15. Proverbs 10,
15 tells us this: the rich man's wealth is his what? It is his strong city. You know, there is this attitude that if I have money, if I have enough money, I don't need anything. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way a lot of people view life? For the rich man, that's his strong city. What's a strong city a picture of? Protection. The enemy comes, but you have the protection of the strong city. You just dig in your pocket and you just hand out another. That's the rich man's attitude. Trouble comes, I'll pay it off. I'll have enough money to handle it. Proverbs 18:11. Proverbs 18:11, the rich man's wealth is his strong city and as a high wall in his own conceit. The picture here basically is in the heart and mind of this rich man, I've got all I need. I've got money. In Psalm 52, verse 7, we read this. Lo, this is the man that made not God his trust or his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. We see here the downfall of the one who has trusted in his wealth. There are others who trust in their might, in their strength. Psalm 33:16-17. Psalm 33:16-17. It says, there is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. We've looked at the first part of that verse, the things that so many people trust in. Where is your trust? As we go back to our beginning verse in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But the last half of that verse gives the contrast. Number 2, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Let's notice some of the things that are mentioned here in even the trust. It says, we will remember the name of the Lord. In that 20th chapter earlier, let's just back up a few pages. Notice earlier it said in verse 1, why should I trust in the name of the Lord? Because verse 1 says, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. That's why we trust in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, secondly, and number 2, it's going to send you help. Thirdly, in verse 2, the name of the Lord is going to strengthen you. When we see our world crumbling around us and we say, who or what do I have? We have the name of the Lord. We have the Lord we can turn to. He'll help us. He'll defend us. He will strengthen us. Notice in verse 5, it says here, in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Set up our banners. What a picture of authority. As we think of the standards, the flags that in the book of Numbers. Turn with me, if you would. Numbers chapter 10. And when it says that the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, will set up our banners, our flags. Interestingly enough, in Numbers chapter 10, as you read through this, we find here the picture of the camp of the Israelites. And when they were to, when they would go forth as a nation, when they would go forth as an army, when it tells us here in verse 2 of Numbers 10, when they would blow these trumpets of silver, and they would call for the assembling and for the journeys of the camps, when it was time for them to go forth, when they would blow, we find in verse 5, when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are on the south shall take their journeys. And notice here in verse 9, if you go to war in your land against an enemy, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, that you shall be remembered and you shall be saved from your enemies. What's that have to do with the banners? Notice in verse 14, they took their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses, verse 13. In the first place went the standard or the banner of the camp of the children of Judah according to their armies. Then over the tribe of the children of Issachar, verse 16, over the children of Zebulun, the tabernacle was taken down, verse 17. Verse 18, next the standard, the banner of the children of Reuben set forth according to their armies. And then we find verse 22, later on, the standard of the camp of the children of Israel. When the children of Israel would go forth, either moving or when they would go out against an enemy, they would have their banners, they would have their standards. Isn't that something that is quite common even in armies in the past? Haven't you seen pictures of armies and you see the soldiers are carrying what? The flag of the nation or the flag of the tribe or whatever. And we see here, why should we trust in the name of the Lord? Because in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. In verse 7, it says, we will remember as the source of our confidence the name of the Lord. Let me just check one thing here before we move on too much further. As we think of the remembering the name of the Lord as the source of our confidence, look at David in his confrontation with a giant one day. Where was David's confidence?
In the Lord.
It was on the Lord, wasn't it? The giant mocked him. The giant laughed at him. And David's response in verse 45 of 1 Samuel 17 was this. David said to the Philistine, you're coming to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. All the things for a well-protected soldier. Sword,
for close-in battle, spear for long range, shield to protect himself. He was well protected, David said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand. David's confidence was where? Not in horses or chariots, not in his wealth, not in his strength, not in his might. He was trusting totally in the Lord. What's going to happen in the future to us? We don't know, do we? There's all sorts of predictions being made, all sorts of moves that are taking place in world powers. It's not just in the United States where this digital currency plans are being, it's worldwide. What's going to happen to us? We can turn to the Lord. What happens, when it happens, we can count on the Lord. What about you? Others, a lot of people trust a lot of things. But what are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we could be challenged by your word concerning where our trust would lie. I pray that you would encourage us. We're living in days where there are a lot of voices, a lot of predictions being made, a lot of threats. Father, our trust should be in you, and I pray that as we observe events happening around us, that we would not despair, that we would not panic, that we would not throw up our arms. But if and when some of these changes occur, we might run to you. We might renew our trust in you. You are the only thing we can count on. You are the only thing that will not fail us. We thank you, we praise you, in your name.